You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feet to the right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Hey, what's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the unofficial podcast of GreekRoyalty.com. I'm Scott Kinville, and before we get going, as always, we want to let you know that you can find us on Twitter at RinkRoyalty and also at Royalty_pod. We got a really fun show lined up for you tonight. I'm just going to put it this way. As Motley Crue once sang about girls, 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 we're going to talk about trades, trades, trades. And so before we get going here, I want to bring in our panel, as always. Mr. Ryan Sykes, what's going on, Ryan?
Hey, Scott, I'm good. That was actually a really good reference there.
Yeah, well, you know what? I saw the end a couple days ago, and I was like, I'm a little inspired, a little Motley Crue inspired. So
I saw them on their supposed farewell tour here in Chicago. And
oh, that's awesome.
Alice Cooper opened up for them.
Yep, I saw him in Saratoga.
Yeah.
And you know what? Cooper was awesome.
Anyways, we're already off the rails.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I think Alice Cooper is a hockey fan, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also to get on this trade bonanza show, Mr. Russell Morgan. What's happening, Russ?
What's going on, guys? Let's talk trades.
Let's do it. And it looks like we started our show at the right time because, what was it, about half an hour, 45 minutes ago? Yeah. There was a breaking trade in the NHL. The New York Islanders acquired Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the New York Islanders for their 2021 first-round pick, a conditional 2022 second-round or fourth-round pick, I'm sorry, and a couple of prospects. So what do you guys think?
That's a hefty price to pay for Palmieri and Zajac. I know they the Devils kind of – I think they retained 50% of their salary. But the Islanders are going for it. Lou Lamoriello is known to be – one of the big movers at the deadline. So he knew he was bound to make a trade. I thought the Kings and the Islanders would be good trade partners. Who knows? They still could be. And we'll probably get into that a little later. But Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that first round pick's a big price to pay. What do you think, Ryan?
Oh, I was just going to say that we'll end up finding out the fruits of the trade, you know, in the 2021 draft. So.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, too, I mean, I was just talking with an Islanders friend of mine, and he's thrilled about the trade, which, you know, I can't blame him. He's got an exciting team there, right? But the thing is the Islanders are butted right up against the cap again next year. And yeah. So they're going to have to try to find room to re-sign Palmieri.
Yeah, so, I can see it from both fan bases' perspective, because the Islanders obviously need some help with Anders Lee out of the lineup there, but New Jersey's getting another first-round pick to keep rebuilding.
Well, yeah, and that's huge for them, really. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Palmieri wanted to stay there, to be honest with you. I think he wanted to get into a situation where he can start doing some winning now, which – and it's nice, too, because I think he's actually from Long Island.
Yeah, Smithtown, New York. It's interesting, though, because obviously it's part of a much larger package, but 17 points in 34 games, we're going to kind of segue to it here, but Alex Iafallo at 23 and 36 games. Kind of the rumor, I guess, circling around is, could Iafallo net a first-round pick?
Yeah, I think that's a big question mark. I mean, for me personally, I don't see that happening. I think that there was a little rumor circling around that Iafallo was being looked at by the Islanders, and I guess that we can dive into that. I actually had a Twitter question from DJ Jazzy 99 on Twitter, and he said, hypothetically, right? Hypothetically, if Iafallo was moved to the Islanders, what do you think the return is? Now obviously it's probably not going to be a first round pick, and who knows if the Islanders are even still going to be moving, but like I mentioned, Lou Lamoriello does like to make the moves. And I was talking with one of the writers for the Islanders a couple of days ago, and he had mentioned, I was looking into some of the prospects too. And one name that kind of jumped out was Robin Salo. He's a dynamic left shot defenseman, and he's pretty much ready for the NHL right now. He's finishing up a season, I believe, in Sweden, and he could be on the move over here relatively shortly to North America. So if the Kings do move Iafallo to Islanders, that's the name I would be looking at. I know Kiefer Bellows is another name that the Islanders have been trying to move around. He's a left wing. He played on the U.S. national team during the World Junior Championships a couple of years ago, and he scored quite a few goals. And he's projected to be, I think, a top nine winger. I wouldn't say first line winger, left winger, but he's a big kid who can put the puck in the net. That's another player I think the Kings would look at, but. With the move that the Islanders made right now, it'd be tough for them to kind of move any more big pieces away.
Well, and don't forget, Kiefer's also the son of Minnesota North Stars great Brian Bellows. yeah, I don't know. I it's hard for me to imagine the Islanders going after Iafallo now. I mean, I would imagine maybe they got a couple more minor moves to make, but they're still cash strapped. I mean, cap strapped, even with that $7 million with, you know, Lee being on LTIR. Mm-hmm. But I think that I read somewhere they're looking for a little bit of defensive depth as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess that kind of leads to the question of, where do our guys go then if they're going to go anywhere?
Yeah. And that's kind of why I thought that the Islanders and the Kings would be pretty good trade partners, because I mean, Blake mentioned at the virtual state of the franchise a couple weeks ago that they're in a prime position with the cap they're in, that they can take on bad contracts. And when I asked that writer the other day, I also asked him about that, and he said, yeah, he can definitely see the Kings maybe taking on the Ladd contract. I believe he's got like 4.5 mil left for like a couple more years, and he's not really, I don't even know if he's even playing, but if the Kings can take on that deal, then that even sweetens the pot even more for them to trade away Iafallo for maybe a Kiefer Bellows and a Robin Salo. Who knows? But it's interesting.
Sure it is. And I mean, well, that's, I think Ladd spent most of the year in Bridgeport, the AHL. So
yeah, he has just one goal in four games, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of feel sorry for him. I mean, he was a tremendous player in the NHL at one point, but now it's kind of father time caught up, I think.
Yeah. He was an outstanding, in a supporting role with the Blackhawks during those cup run years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he got paid.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I guess that leaves the big fish left so far anyway, would be Taylor Hall. So I actually thought that Buffalo was going to make a concentrated effort to re-sign him, but it doesn't kind of look that way anymore, where everybody's talking. It kind of looks like the fire sale is going to be on. I kind of tend to think he's going to end up in Boston, actually. But that could be a prime spot for, say, an Alex Iafallo. Maybe a Dustin Brown, as much as I would hate to see it happen. Because let's face it, Boston desperately needs some secondary scoring. Okay, and I was just talking about this with a friend of mine. Boston's a great team. Don't get me wrong. Not taking anything away from them. But could you imagine where that team would be without the perfection line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all. That's pretty much
look at their all. Score boxes. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So, I could definitely see, I mean, Iafallo kind of has that kind of nose for the puck, kind of Boston kind of play style to him. So I can see him in the Bruins uniforms, but I don't know if the Kings and the Bruins are big trade partners, to be honest with you. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Think, right? Maybe one of those Eastern teams, you know, Pittsburgh, Boston. I think they hook up with one of them, to be honest. I'm not sure that they're going to help Colorado out or something like that, you know.
Well, I don't think anybody wants to help Colorado out.
Man, they don't even need any help, right?
No, you can keep your picks and prospects. We're not giving you anything more.
Yeah, man, they look every bit the Stanley Cup contender that people projected them to be right now. I think they're like 13-0-2 in their last 15 games. Don't quote me on that, but I think I saw that in the numbers that are all jumbled in my head. Just jumping back real quick to the Taylor Hall. I was listening to NHL Sirius XM radio, and one of the landing spots they had for him was going back to Edmonton. Just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
That'd be a mistake for the Oilers. I think Taylor Hall, I think his best bet is at Colorado. They have some cap space. They're going for it now, obviously. And just if you can put him with maybe Kadri on the second line, that first line for Colorado is pretty solidified with Ranson and McKinnon and Landeskog. But if you can put them on the left side with Kadri, that makes them even more formidable. If they could even do that with the amount of players that they have over there. But I think Colorado is probably the best landing spot for Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be so much of a mistake if Edmonton did that, because I mean, then they would be able to kind of split things up a little bit, maybe even keep Draisaitl with McDavid. And then you could have RNH with Taylor Hall on the second line. But the only trouble with that is, of course, he's a free agent at the end of the year, and so is RNH. So Now the Oilers are in that situation. Well, who do you want? And do you want to give up a lot of assets to get a rental that may or may not work out? Of course, that's always a question of a trade deadline. But that's essentially what you're doing there. And I do think that Edmonton might need some help on the back end, too.
I was just going to say, I mean, the big knock on them has always been their defense, right? They're in the middle of the pack of the NHL right now, pretty much tied with the LA Kings at 2.9 goals allowed per game. not sure about their goaltending heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. Is this really Mike Smith?
Yeah. Is this an Edmonton Oilers podcast?
Yeah, let's get off of them. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do a listener question. How's that? Sure. So we'll go to the first one up. This is from Austin Mandy. And let's see, should the Kings try and see what they can get for their first round pick? And will the Kings make the playoffs? And if they do, how do they fare against the competition?
Well, I like Austin's optimism.
Yeah.
I mean, up until a couple of weeks ago, I was on the playoff train. But after the past like 3 or 4 games, it's pretty apparent that they're not going to make the postseason unless just everyone else, you know, takes a dump in front of them. But they're trending towards another top 5 pick, to be honest. I mean, I think they're what, 4 points ahead of the Ducks right now, 3 games in hand. But you know, it's not pretty.
No.
Yeah. I don't see the Kings trading their first round pick. I mean,
well, I don't either. Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, kind of a wraparound to that. It's probably going to be at the very least a top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think they could be in the number 1 or 2 spot this year, right? Because of the change to the draft rules.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So I would obviously not see that happening at the trade deadline. However, once we get into the off season, if that pick turns out to be a number 3 or number 4 pick overall, that could really turn into a nice trade piece for the big blockbuster deals they keep talking about wanting to bring up. So
sure. Yeah, I could definitely see that, Scott.
Well, I mean, the thing with that is that I don't remember the last time a team traded a top five pick. I don't think that's happened in quite a while. But I mean, the thing I like about it, if the Kings do have a top 10 pick this year, there are like at least three or four lefty defensemen that are going. I mean, Luke Hughes will probably be one or two. But then you have Owen Power, who was the projected number one overall pick before the season even started. Yeah. Simon Edmondson, I think I'm pronouncing that last name right. But yeah, there's some names out there that the Kings would love to have if they do have that top 10 pick.
And there's also Brant Clark.
I was just going to say that. Oh, yeah, Carson Clark, Lambos as well. It's heavy on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm. But the only question I have is how close are these guys to being NHL ready?
Well, that's the thing, Scott.
How much longer do we want to wait?
I couldn't have said it any better, so I'm not going to. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, eventually we got to start seeing these players. I can't just keep watching the rain for my source of optimism, for lack of a better word, you know?
Right,
I need to see these guys at the NHL level, and which, by the way, watching the rain games, is the camera view is like watching it from space. You know, they don't have the close-ups or the zooms or the slow-mos that they do in the NHL, so it's tough to watch.
And they kind of screw the clock up sometimes too, which really drives me nuts. But
well, last night they didn't update the score until like a minute 23 left in the game. So I mean, people just tuning in think it's 3-2 and it's actually tied. But I mean, I'm first world problems, right? I'm complaining here, but let's move on.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go on to another question. Sure. So this is from our buddy Richard Sarabia, Mr. Dirty Harry, and he wants to know, how satisfied have you guys been with the Kings so far this year? And are you trying to catch Kings games live now that Staples Center will be opening soon? Well, I can answer that second question as no. It was 300 miles away, unfortunately. So that's a big no for me.
Yeah, have to wait till next year.
Yeah.
What about you, Russell? You're out there.
Yeah, I might partake in a game or two if they open up. As far as the first part of that question, It's been up and down. I mean, when I went into the season, I've told you guys I've been all about Beltman this year. I just wanted to see the young kids playing. That's all I really cared about. Playoffs were kind of on the back burner, but if they made the playoffs, that's great. At the start of the season, it was kind of disappointing with those first couple of games against Minnesota. But then they went on that 6-game win streak, and you're like, playoffs, and everyone was kind of excited. And you can kind of see maybe that trajectory with the way that the other four teams were playing, the Coyotes and all them. But now it's kind of getting to the point where, okay, this team isn't a great 5-on-5 team, and it's starting to catch up to them because their power play isn't what it was at the beginning of the year. So You kind of know that the playoffs might be kind of in the back of not going to make it this year. So I wouldn't say I'm disappointed. I'm just saying it's I just want, like you mentioned, Ryan, I just want this rebuild to kind of start accelerating a little bit.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting. I mean, when rosters expand after next Monday, I mean, are we going to see some of the play the kids, you know? Are some of the kids going to come up, and we're going to see Quentin Byfield, who just scored his 8th goal last night for the Rangers?
Oh, that was a beauty.
I mean, I know they're not going to burn their entry-level contracts, which is fine. I think we have, 19 games remaining, something to that effect. But, you know, let's start seeing them get into games. I want to see Arthur Kaliev back into another game. I want to see Quentin Byfield get his feet wet in the NHL. I mean, could he really possibly do worse than Blake Lizotte at this point?
Absolutely not.
No offense to Blake Lizotte, but it's just like we talked about it with Dennis Bernstein a couple weeks ago. But Blake Lizotte's just a placeholder on the roster until, you know, some of the center depth starts to graduate to the NHL roster.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could even bring them up like two at a time, rotate them through. So you're not burning up their first years of their ELCs. I mean, but they have to start doing something with this. You know, I mean, personally, as a fan, I'm getting impatient. So I think I'm with you on this one, Russ. Am I disappointed? No, because I wasn't expecting them to be that great this year. Mm-hmm. Are there things that they could be doing better? Certainly. You know, I kind of get a little bit frustrated with their lack of urgency sometimes, I guess. I think that more oftentimes than not, they need a kick in the pants, which isn't very encouraging. Mm-hmm. I understand they're a young team. I get it. I totally get it. But to me, it kind of seems to happen a little bit too much.
How many times have we heard in the post-game media calls and the after the morning skates, you know, we gotta start fast. We need a sense of urgency. It's like, well, where the hell is that? We've been waiting this entire season. Then Drew Doughty goes out and calls out a lot of the guys on the roster. Obviously, none of them were named, but I'm sure there were certain discussions in the locker room that were not so friendly. but yeah, no, I agree. That's what a leader should do. I mean, he's 31 years old. He wants to get back to the playoffs while he's still quote unquote in his prime, still productive. But you know, the season overall has been fun in my mind, but I'm going to look back on these last 4 to 6 games or whatever it may be, especially the Sharks series where they got swept in all 4 games and Martin Jones looks like a Vezina candidate. And which, by the way, guys, Martin Jones allowed 4 goals last night to the Ducks.
Of course he did.
I think that it stings even more to see that. And I watched the highlights of that game and there were a few like weird deflections that were kind of out of his control, but you know where I'm going with this. Like he's not this elite goaltender, and I thought the Kings just should have played better in those series. And you look ahead after this Coyotes series, what they got, Vegas and Colorado coming up next after the Sharks this weekend. I mean, it's not getting easier.
The weird part is they always play better against the better opponents.
I know. They play down to their opponents.
Figure it out.
Yeah, I think, but one thing I think we can all agree on is we're just happy to watch some hockey after the last year we've had.
Yeah, no kidding.
I agree. You know, I was talking to, he's not with us tonight, but the other Ryan on this podcast said, you know, 19 games, we went 10 months without hockey. Let's just enjoy the rest of the season for what it is, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. So part two of Richard's question, this is another optimistic question, but I'll just read it off anyway. sure. If the Kings made the playoff, which opponent do you want to see them play against? For me, the Knights, since I despise them the most, LOL. Well, I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to see them play the Avalanche. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the Knights would be the pick of choice.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'd like to see them get another shot at the Wild, to be honest.
I was just thinking
you.
That.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So moving on. Let's see. We got another question. I don't know who it's from, but anyways, it says
this is Richard again. We should have just invited him on for this podcast. Yeah.
I know, right? Man, I love it. I love participation like this. This is great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Question is, what are the best options for the vets like Carter, Brown, and Quick? Do you buy them out or trade them or let their contracts expire and not re-sign them? Well, I think you got to take that one at a time.
Sure.
For me personally, I think Carter's got to get bought out at the end of the season. I'm sorry. There's just no other way around it. You got to buy him out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree.
Gonna,
yeah.
He's not going to retire. And you hate to do it to a guy that helped you out with so much success, but it's time. I mean, I'm sorry. It's time.
Yeah. Unfortunately, with his contract, I just don't see much trade value. And that's kind of why I've been posting his buyout option from Cap Friendly on Twitter. But you got to wait till after the expansion draft, of course. But then after that, I think you just got to pull the trigger. I mean, I know I've heard that he brings a lot of leadership to the locker room, which is great. But is the production on ice is just not there. And it's just tough to see. I don't want to say he's bringing down like a player like Vilardi, but it's definitely not helping Vilardi's game. I feel like it's that pair when they've been paired together. It's not working.
Yeah, and we'll get to Vilardi in a little bit because he's kind of in the doghouse right now. But regarding Carter next year, I agree. I mean, I posted that article a week ago or so now. I think you have to buy him out. 3.9 million cap hit next year. Less than $700,000 a year after. The responses to the piece that I put out, I saw a lot on both sides of it, which, I mean, I get the emotional attachment to Jeff Carter, but you got to look at it the same way. The Kings are going to have Kovalchuk's contract off this year, and forgive me, I'm forgetting the other guy right now. Thank you. But it's like over $10 million coming off. So you swap that, and it's like a net $6 million savings.
Right. Yeah, I've heard the counter argument is that the Kings have so much cap space. Why do you have to buy them out? Well, it has nothing to do with cap space. That's to do with the roster spot. I mean, we can't just keep the kids down in Ontario and just keep playing a player like Carter. It just doesn't make sense to accelerate this rebuild.
And, you know, the thing is, too, I mean, would it have really hurt to let Matloff skate with Vlardy for a little bit? And I know that sounds kind of weird, but, I mean, if you're going to stick Carter with him, and it was obviously not working, why not just give Matloff like a 10-game window? Say, here you go, kid. This is what we got for you. Show us what you got. And maybe he meshes with Vlardy a little bit better. I mean, it's all hypothetical, and it's just me basically spitballing. But I don't think it would have hurt the Kings. And again, I don't mean to sound like a Grinch or anything like that, but to maybe even healthy scratch Carter a few games. I'm sorry. But, I mean, if you've got to get these kids up and you've got to get them playing, well, that's a roster spot. That's like gold right now for them.
Yeah, and Matt Luff had two goals for Ontario last night. And yes, I know that's the AHL versus the NHL, but at the NHL level, the Kings registered at least 1 point in 9 of the 11 games that he's played in this year. He has just one goal to show for it. But, you know, kind of to you guys' point, throw him on the bottom six. Like, this is obviously not working. Change something up for the remainder of the season. You got to get a look at him, because he'll be 24 in like 20 days or something like that.
Exactly.
And I cannot remember it, and I can't remember if he's a free agent after this year, restricted free agent after this year.
Yeah, he's an RFA.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the counter argument, I will say, he's played 62 games in the NHL over the last 3 years, so I mean, we've kind of seen what we can get. But I mean, at this point, like you mentioned, it's just you got to shake things up. Why not? Why aren't we trying different things or new things?
But is he any worse than Austin Wagner right now?
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, Austin Wagner signed to a 3-year extension, so
right,
got to keep him around. Right.
No, I get that. I mean, throwing out contracts aside, I just think you got to mix something up on the bottom six, because if their top line isn't scoring. I think Jesse Cohen of All the Kings Men podcast posted something a couple days ago. Over their last like 11 games, they had like 2.1 goals per game or something like that. Something around that number.
Yeah.
It's just putrid. Great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got Brandon Lemieux on the fourth line now. We'll see what kind of spark he brings.
I'm interested to see his impact, I guess, if any, you know, just to see the dynamic. Obviously, the whole team is going to have a sense of urgency tonight. We're recording this Wednesday for the series finale against Arizona. But I do think they're going to come out like a bat out of hell tonight. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see Lemieux's impact.
So what about the other two guys? We'll start with Brownie. That's the toughest one.
It is, because he was reportedly generating interest from the Isles. He might get some other interest from the previous teams that we mentioned, but he's got, what, another year left on – another 2 years?
Another year.
I think Brown
– same as Carter.
I think Brown has the trade value, this trade value. I agree. Which is interesting.
Yeah, he's 36, but, I mean, he's scoring a ton on the power play. I don't think he's – he hasn't done much lately, but neither of the Kings. So
we talk about the East Coast bias. I mean, I'm sure people don't really realize how he's putting them in. I'm sure they just look at his stat line and are like, oh, wow, look at Dustin Brown's, all those goals he's scoring. Well, got to get a player like that on our team. So, I mean, I think Scott mentioned, like, you can see Brown maybe going to a team like Boston. I'm not sure what his value would be. Maybe he does net a first round pick. I don't think Iafallo would get a first round pick, but I can see Brown maybe getting one. I mean, you don't get a lot of players like Dustin Brown who's able to put the puck in the net. He brings that tenacity, and he has that playoff experience. So
that and the physicality too. I mean, that's such an underrated element of his game.
Yeah, but, so you know, teams like the Panthers or like the Bruins or even the Hurricanes might be looking. I mean, I would love to see them make a trade with the Hurricanes and maybe see about prying away like a defenseman like Jake Bean or somebody from.
I know.
My God, you're going to send Hurricanes Twitter into a.
Well, the only reason I bring that up, so I mean, I did my research here on this one, but the only reason I bring that up with the Hurricanes is the expansion draft coming up. They're going to have to expose like a Hayden Fleury or a Jake Bean. So do they move a player like Bean away? I mean, for those who don't know, Jake Bean's a really good left shot defenseman.
And yeah.
I believe he's 22 years old. He's playing like limited minutes right now because of the logjam on defense. But they have Dougie Hamilton, who's going to be a UFA. They're talking about re-signing him. So if they re-sign him, then they have to leave Hayden Fleury or Jake Bean exposed. So if the Kings are looking forward to make a deal and they want to trade Dustin Brown, Justin Williams is one of the advisors for the GM over there. Who knows Dustin Brown better than Justin Williams?
So now.
That would be a good option.
Man, just on a side note, though, can you imagine all that defensive talent that Carolina would end up having to have had to trade between Adam Fox and now if they have to get rid of Jake Bean, expansion draft? Man, brutal.
Well, yeah, I touched on that a few weeks ago and got massacred on Twitter for trying to take away Jacob Slavin from them. But, deservedly so. I mean, but, they're up against the cap. They got $2.3 million in projected cap space. They got a few unrestricted free agents to re-sign, a few restricted as well. And they're not going to be able to keep all of them. And, obviously you said it, Russell, the expansion draft. So I think they're going to end up moving something to get something back.
I think so. And, that's the crazy thing with this trade deadline is because the expansion draft coming up too. That's going to either hinder or create some moves.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, Carolina has 3 seventh round picks in the upcoming 2021 draft. One of them from us, by the way. How often do seventh round picks pan out? Maybe they'll add that and try to move up or something like that.
Well, hey, Matt Roy was a seventh round pick.
Yeah, I know that. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. So the last one, of course, would be Quickie. That's going to be the toughest one to move, I think. Obviously, you're not moving Carter. I love it, Manny.
Two places I see, I'm just seeing his message now. The two places I see Quick ending up are in Colorado behind Grubauer. Or behind Jack Campbell in Toronto with Frederick Anderson out of the lineup there. But Quick hasn't played that well over his last 5 games. 3 goals, 4 goals, 2 goals, 4 goals, 3 goals. 4 of those are losses. He's just – I don't know, guys. I'm almost tempted to hang on to him because you have to leave a goalie exposed for the expansion draft. I'd almost – leave Quick exposed and see if Seattle takes him.
No, I don't know if Seattle would take him, but I mean, that would kind of be,
but I mean,
I know what you're saying.
You,
for sure.
You have to leave one exposed. I mean, you could bring up Matt Vallalta or something like that, which is a whole nother story in itself. You know how I feel, Russell, but, yeah.
I think an option in terms of Quick, and like you mentioned, Toronto is one of the options that they're probably looking at getting a goalie. I think if there is a trade there, I think there would have to be some kind of Frederick Anderson, Jonathan Quick kind of swap. I mean, I know Frederick Anderson right now, he's got a little bit of an injury problem going on, but that would be something to see another trade, just like it was, last year when they traded Jack Campbell.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we trade another goalie. So the two goalies the Kings had last year are now in Toronto. I mean, I think Kings fans would appreciate Quickie getting another playoff run now. I don't see them obviously making a playoff push this year, unfortunately. But, I mean, if Jonathan Quick, like you mentioned, the last 5 games, he's just looked kind of rough. So I don't know how much tangible trade value he could really have. But he does have, like Dustin Brown, he has that playoff experience. And he's probably one of the best big-game goaltenders there still is in the NHL. So, go ahead, Scott.
Hey, guys. I'm not ruling out Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would, definitely. Scott, I was
after that game last night, there's no way I'm ruling them out.
Yeah, Scott, just as you were about to say, I was going to jump in and say, Quick was linked to the Penguins and a potential Casey to Smith swap, bringing over 29-year-old goaltender to back up Cal Peterson, leave him exposed at the draft, and then you could sort out the draft picks and all the other pieces that make that puzzle work. But I think that could work as well.
Well, especially now that you got, with Brian Hextall being the GM, who knows Quick very well and had a lot of success with him, and you got Brian Burke, who's not afraid to, pull the trigger on any kind of a deal himself. So, I mean, Is it likely? Probably not, but I wouldn't rule it out. I certainly wouldn't, especially if Kingsbury's going to miss a lot of time.
I see the Leafs and the Kings being good trade partners too. I mean, just from the history, there's precedent. I mean, they've made two big trades the last 2 years. So Sheldon Keefe and Rob Blaker seem like best buds when it comes to on the phone. And the Maple Leafs have some pretty good young prospects. I don't see them moving like a Nick Robertson, but who knows? Maybe they do want to move a Rasmus Sandin. I know there's a lot of love for that kind of player, and just another left shot defenseman who's got that offensive upside. So maybe you can package it. I showed you guys just report before we hopped on. There was a report a couple of days ago in the Toronto Star that the Maple Leafs had their eyes on Kempe, which all three of us were probably like, okay, that sounds good to us. Like, if you want to trade us whoever for Kempe, that's fine.
I messaged you guys instantly. I was like, I will drive him to the airport myself.
Exactly.
That's nothing to Adrian Kempe. It's just, he's kind of just out of time. You know, it'd be almost 25 years old. We know what we have in him. He's not a consistent player. The Kings need that.
Yeah, I think Kempe and William Nylander played together on, I think it was the 2016 World Junior Championship roster in Sweden. So there's a little bit of familiarity there, but, maybe there's a package there with Kempe and Quick going to Toronto for certain players back. I mean, we've liked what we've gotten out of some of the production from some of those trades before. So Trevor Moore's looked good. We got Tobias Bjornfoot, that first round pick for Jake Muzzin and Sean Durzi and Carl Grunstrom. So who knows?
Well, and that's the thing too. You know, you got to remember in bringing up the kids next year, and if you're going to make a free agent splash, you got to have some roster spots. There's just no getting around that.
Exactly.
So let's go to another
question. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, while we're kind of dancing around the bottom six forwards, who do you guys see as kind of sticking around while the prospects come up?
So you know what's funny is I've actually kind of liked Austin Wagner's game the last few games. I'm going to be that guy.
I mean, Russell, you have a fair point. He's been very noticeable on the ice lately. I don't know. It's the same reasoning with Kempe. He's just not consistent enough. He has speed and ..
Yeah, and then, but that's the thing. He's starting to use his body a little bit more, which I really like to see, because, I mean, that's what I thought. Is like, we all know about his speed, and we all know about his breakaway percentage. It's probably like 0.005 or whatever, but if he's able to put the puck in the net eventually on those breakaways, then he's going to have some value on the bottom six with that speed. If he's able to get on the forecheck fast and put a body on somebody, then he's got value, and that contract that he has isn't the worst thing. I mean, he's playing with Blake Lizotte, and like you mentioned, he's probably not long for the Kings roster. And who knows? I kind of like what I'm seeing. We got Brandon Lemieux now. He'll probably be a fourth-line player for the Kings going forward. You don't give up a fourth-round pick and just for nothing for a player, so you want to keep him around. But I think Austin Wagner is someone who could stay. But we're just waiting for the kids at this point. There's got to be some call-ups coming soon.
What are your thoughts on Carl Grunstrom?
That's a tough one. I mean, Wagner, just going back to him real quick, to me, it is a great fourth-line player. Mm-hmm. I mean, all right, so he screws up his breakaways. Well, that's kind of what fourth-liners do, right?
Yeah.
But that speed does create a forecheck, and it's like Russ said, he is using his body a lot more. So I don't really have that much of a problem with Wagner. Grunstrom, I thought, was going to be fantastic, and then he kind of just tailed off. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of a young player inconsistency thing. I get it. But, I mean, overall, guys, I don't think the bottom six is their biggest concern. They have got to get the second line stuff addressed. And it's been the thorn in their side for how long, right? So I think that's where you got to see significant change. And, you know, I'm just telling you right now, if they don't put Quentin Byfield in at least the 3C spot when they bring him up, they're out of their minds. And honestly, I would not be surprised at all to see him at the 2C spot by the end of next season.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's all this talk about, like, well, who's going to be our second line center? I'm like, okay, did everyone just forget we just drafted a
second overall pick that's a center. Yeah, that's right. Like projected to be the best player out of that draft now. Like, no, I mean, Quentin Byfield's probably going to be our second line center. And now, and then all those people that said, oh, I don't want to trade for Jack Eichel, well, are probably the same people who are saying we don't have a second line center. Okay, well, there's moves that's got to be made. But if we don't make a move, we have the pieces for it. Gabe Vilardi can still be that second line center if you give him the wingers to play with. If he, if you're able to acquire a top line left wing to, if you don't move Iafallo, to move Iafallo down if he's re-signed, then you have Vilardi playing with Iafallo, who's got a solid forechecking game, who can forecheck for Vilardi, get him the puck, and then Vilardi can use his playmaking abilities to find that scorer. So there's pieces are coming, and that's kind of that's why I'm always preaching hashtag play the kids. We need to get these kids in the system, and if we're able to get Byfield these six games before the end of the season, so we can get him a look in the NHL. I would like to see more. I want to see Alex Turcotte. Alex Turcotte's playing on wing now. He was playing right wing last night. So who knows? Maybe he gets a spot on the Vilardi line and plays some good forechecking minutes. He's looked great on the forecheck. So there's still plenty of players that are available in the Kings, and we just can't forget about the prospects we have now. We don't need to go out finding a second line center all of a sudden, unless we really want to make that Jack Eichel trade.
Yeah, absolutely. And I honestly, I just don't know if they have the appetite to make the Jack Eichel trade.
He's going to cost a lot.
I get Eichel is an elite player. There's no doubt about that. But I just don't want to see it get in the way of us seeing what Byfield can do. Because you're going to have Eichel for another 4 years if you get him. And not to mention, it's going to drain what assets you have. Forget that.
The Kings have cap space, but he's what, a $10 million AAV?
Correct. Yeah. $10 million. Yeah, which exactly. isn't going to hurt you now, but in a couple of years when you're starting to contend and that window is opening, you're going to be right up against the cap and you're not going to be able to make moves.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, Byfield, maybe, who knows, he could be better than Eichel. I mean, the last few games I've seen from Quentin Byfield, I've been impressed. That last goal he scored last night was, I mean, to take away the puck a la Pavel Datsyuk and deke the goaltender out of his jock. That was very impressive.
Yeah.
I got on my feet for that one. So that was cool to see.
But you want to talk about, he's just playing with so much confidence right now, too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, gosh, I have to preface this with, I know it's kind of an unfortunate situation going on in Ontario right now, but it's been kind of a blessing in disguise. And I say that I think everyone knows what I'm trying to say here, that Quentin Byfield has been able to stay in the AHL because he's starting to show that confidence, as you noted, Russell, and mm-hmm. it's up to 8 goals now. I can't remember how many points he has off the top of my head, but the next step for him is to move up to the NHL. I mean, you got to see what he can do.
Yeah, and when I say play the kids, I'm not mentioning Byfield. I've been a proponent of not burning that first year ELC, especially this year.
Yeah.
But I mean, I want to see players like Fagamo get a look. Unfortunately, he got hurt, or else I think he probably would be playing on the Kings right now. And I want to see like Alex Turcotte or Akil Thomas get up and get those spots, because I mean, Alex Turcotte was a fifth overall pick, and I think like the rest of that top 10 has been in the NHL at this point, or maybe just besides him and I think Phil Broberg out of Edmonton. But they need to have looks. So I'll keep preaching the hashtag play the kids. I know we've had a look at Kupari a couple games. Kaliev has had one, and then now who else has had a look this year? But can't off the top of my head, but. It's time to get some more kids from Ontario up on the roster. Like Scott's mentioned, the bottom six right now just needs a change.
Well, and you know, the thing is too, I got to agree with you, Ross, about not burning the first years of the ELCs because it's pointless, right? Yeah, what, 19 games left?
19 games, yeah.
If they were going to do that, I would have been okay if they'd brought a couple of them up mid-season and said, okay, we're gonna go for it. We're gonna burn the first years of your ELCs, and we're gonna see what you got. But it's way too late for that now. You know, it's pointless.
Yeah, I think what I would do is once rosters expand, you got to play Quentin Byfield on the days that the Kings play, and then just send him back down to Ontario for the rain games. You know, the ones that don't overlap. Obviously, tonight, again, we're recording Wednesday. They play at the same time, 7 p.m. Pacific time. But just kind of alternate those days, you know?
I think they'll probably wait till the last six games and just play them the rest of the season. Last six or seven games. I think that's probably the best option for him. Unfortunately, with the situation going on in the Ontario Hockey League, those poor kids aren't able to play hockey right now. So it's like you mentioned, it's a blessing in disguise that he's been able to play in the AHL this year in this unique situation.
It's just so unfortunate what's going on up there.
Yeah, it is.
But you know, even going into next season, even if the CHL NHL agreement's amended, where say one or two players from each team can play in the AHL, I don't think Quentin Byfield needs to be in the AHL next year. He needs to be a full time NHLer next year, beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no
You can't send him back after this.
No way.
That's like Milton in Office Space being demoted to the basement.
Oh, so let's see. Well, I think we got one more question here, which we've already pretty much answered. But I'll just say it anyway. Should the Kings make moves to force them into the playoffs, or should they wait until after the season to make the big moves? Should Vilardi stay as a center or be moved to the wing? If playoffs are not an option, how many kids should get their cup of coffee? We've already pretty much touched on most of all that. I honestly think that Vilardi may end up on the wing going forward, you know, especially into next season. Like I said, Quentin Byfield is your, in my eyes anyway, is your number two, at least by midway through next season. And then where you're going to put Vilardi, because you got Jad, right?
Right.
And I think the biggest surprise for the Kings this year has been Alex Turcotte moving to the wing. Yeah. That is a player I did not see moving to the wing.
I didn't either. And he's had success there.
Yeah, and he's looked great. I mean, he's, like I mentioned, he's establishing the forecheck very well. He's got hands that are able to get the puck out of the dirty areas and distribute it to the playmakers. But, I mean, as far as Vilardi goes, that he is not a wing player. He is a centerman. He's not that quick. He doesn't have much speed to his game. So, for most centers, I mean, he's always been compared to, like, an Andrei Kopitar or Evgeny Malkin. That's always been his comparison. He doesn't shoot the puck, obviously. DB always hashtags shoot the puck, Gabe. He's not a shooter. He's a playmaker. He needs to find the open winger. So I think it's nice to see Alex Turcotte playing on the wing, because now that the Kings have that versatility with Turcotte, that's a great advantage to have a player like Turcotte playing on the wing. But another player I could see moving to the wing is Kupari. I'd like to see him play some wing minutes. He's got the speed to get down in the dirty areas, make some plays, use that speed to play a little bit more aggressive as opposed to playing the defensive side as a centerman would. But I like to see Kupari maybe making a move to the wing. But as far as Vilardi goes, keep him in the middle. That's where he's got
to
be.
Do you see Akil Thomas moving to the wing? Akil Thomas?
I don't. Actually, you know what? I'll take that back.
Nobody's going to have to.
Akil Thomas is a very versatile player also. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Trevor Lewis. He's the prototypical Trevor Lewis player with more skill. And from what I've seen with Akil Thomas's game, is that that's a type of game that can translate very easily to the NHL. So I always mention, like, play the kids. He's one of those kids I want to see playing. Him and Alex Turcotte are kids that I think should be up in the NHL by the time the season's over.
I don't know if Alex Turcotte would be called up, Russell. I mean, he's kind of been limited by injuries this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he stays in Ontario. I could be wrong, but I think he stays in Ontario.
Yeah, and the only reason I mentioned Turcotte is because that transition to the wing. If he was still playing center, I'd be like, oh yeah, you got to own that, your skills in the AHL and playing the center position. The center position in the NHL, so that's a bigger dog. You can't. Like we've seen with Vilardi this year, that's a hard transition from the AHL to the NHL playing that center position. So,
absolutely. And the only reason I say he's probably going to end up on the wing is because he just can't seem to stay out of McClellan's doghouse.
I know that's twice. In two weeks?
Yeah,
twice in two weeks.
I don't know how much more patience Todd's going to have with him.
Well,
it's hard to say.
In the morning skate a few days ago, his body language just looks so defeated.
Exactly.
It wasn't like the typical Gabe Vilardi that we saw earlier this year. He just, he didn't look comfortable. His body language just said he wasn't, he didn't have any confidence in his game. You know, obviously he was dropped down to fourth line winger with Blake Lizotte as his centerman. And he was brought out of the doghouse back up to the 2C, and now he's back in the doghouse and he won't play tonight. I'm really curious to see how he responds and how he plays the rest of this 19-20 games of the season.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, and this, the thing is, too, back to Alex Turcotte real quick, I love what they did with him, getting him some time on the wing, because you know what he actually reminds me of now is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Great asset to have, right? You need a winger, put him on the wing. We got some center depth problems, we got injuries, whatever. You can slot him into the 2C or 3C if you have to. No problem. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to have.
And it's funny because Coach Robo kind of did that because he and Arthur Kaliev were having so much chemistry during the World Juniors. Sure. You know, obviously Rasmus Kapari was centering that line, so move Alex Turcotte to the wing. And they were suddenly scoring at will. The defense couldn't stop anything, but they were scoring.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So, I don't know why we do a little rapid fire here. So we'll kind of go around the table here. Well, let's see who we think is going to go. Do I have to not necessarily give me a package? If you want to throw a team in there, fine. If not, oh, well, too. I'll start with you, Russ. Who's going to go?
I think Dustin Brown goes at the trade deadline. He's got too much. His goal, like I mentioned, his goal scoring is going to pop off the paper when teams look at it. He's got that playoff experience, which is just something that teams really value as coming around this year. Who knows? Maybe, like I mentioned, like maybe the Hurricanes take a call or give Rob Blake a call, and they offer a Jake Bean or something. I know the Kings would probably have to eat some of that contract in order to move him. But I think that's a player that could, as much as the Kings fans ire, could go in the trade deadline.
Wow. I like a bold prediction right to the start.
Yeah, bold.
Russ Morgan comes out with just bold arms and just swinging. I love it. What do you think, Ryan?
That's tough. I mean, Dustin Brown would be a tough pill to swallow, just obviously given what he's provided to this franchise over the last 17, 18 years, whatever it's been. I see Iafalo or Kempe going. Iafalo could come back after or in the off season, but that doesn't seem to be very common, you know. Get traded, then come back, unless you're Patrick Marleau. But he's got more production than Kyle Palmieri, who was just obviously traded before we started this podcast. And some teams are going to need that kind of second to third line left winger depth for the push to the playoffs.
Yeah, and the thing, I've been saying Iafalo. I know the rumors are out there with him, but I just don't see him leaving the Kings. He's a really solid player. They've done their work. They've done their research on him. He was a college free agent. So, and then he made the team that year. So I think I saw on his Instagram, he's making surfboards in California or in Manhattan Beach. So it's like, where does he want to move? Is Toronto? There's no sense. Yeah. So. There's a name I'll throw out here that I think might move in the offseason. Sean Walker. I think the Kings' right side of their defense is pretty stacked. And I'm really, really high on Brock Faber. And I think Brock Faber makes the team after the collegiate season's over next year. So where does that leave a player like Sean Walker? We already have Drew Doughty. We already have Matt Roy. Sean Walker's got a very, very inexpensive contract, and I think teams come calling.
Okay.
But I think that doesn't happen to the offseason. That doesn't happen to the offseason.
I was just going to say, Russell, he's got a very tradable contract, $2.7 million cap hit for the next three seasons. I'm going to throw another name out here for you guys. And I asked you guys this in our private chat, and I'm going to get slaughtered here, but I'm going to go for it. I'm going to shoot my shot. Tobias Bjornfoot. Kings have kind of the same player in Mikey Anderson and Bjornfoot. I think they need a little bit more scoring on the left side. something has to give there.
Yeah, I think if there is that deal for, I know Bernstein has always mentioned Dahlin. I'm not the biggest proponent of trading for Dahlin, and Nigel Scott's on board with that too. But
I'm going to let you two argue about this while I watch and grab another beer.
I don't want to get into that a little bit right now, but I think if there is a trade for a dynamic left shot defenseman coming up, I think Bjornfoot is definitely a part of that package. That's a team that's going to want a player like Bjornfoot coming back in that deal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility he could end up getting traded. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's been said over and over again. Some of these prospects are eventually going to have to get moved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You only have so much room, right?
Absolutely.
And Ryan, I think you're exactly right when you say it, Mikey Anderson and Tobias Bjornfoot are basically one and the same. They really are.
I hate to say that because I like both of them just from an emotional attachment, you know, but I also want the defense to be scoring a little bit more than they are right now.
Well, listen, you got to make some room to get Curtis McDermott back in the lineup too.
So. I know.
Yeah. Got to get him back on that top four pairing.
Yeah, I'd move him up to left wing if we could.
Right.
But I mean, in terms of like trading and other players, I feel like there's only if the Kings are going to have to make a big move this offseason. That I mean, I think we can all agree on that. Whoever it's a left shot defenseman, left winger, anything. They have the prospects to make the move. I think there's only really, there's only a couple players that I wouldn't move. It's Quentin Byfield. It's Matt Roy. It's Drew Doughty, because I don't think anyone's going to be able to want to take Drew Doughty's contract on. Andre Kopitar, and then Cal Peterson. I think those are only the five names that I think that are just untouchable. You got to keep those players. All other players, if you want to trade us somebody like a Philip Forsberg or a Kyle Connor or Nikolai Ehlers, so be it. Everyone's on board.
I agree. I totally agree. Because, you know, it's prospects are great. Lottery tickets are great, but lottery tickets don't always hit. Just to close out, I'll tell you guys, I think it's going to be Iafallo and it's going to be Anthony Seu that goes at the deadline.
Oh, yeah. I can see that, too. Yeah, it was part of a trade package that netted 2 second-round picks last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think there is value for and I love what he's done for the team this year, Anthony Seu. But I just, you know, it was a prove-it deal. Right. And with us needing roster space next year, I think you take what you can get.
His RFA status, though, is really interesting. Mm-hmm. If he was an unrestricted free agent, I could definitely see it. But that team that takes him on can keep him next year for obviously whatever they want to tender him and negotiate and work out with his camp.
Which I think actually boosts his value up a little bit.
I would agree with that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and going back to just who's going to be brought up, I mean, don't sleep on Leish Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another guy that I've grown attached to.
Yeah. I don't know if he's ever going to be that top 6 forward they need, but, I mean, he certainly could be a legit top 9.
Yeah. Certainly. If he's a winger on your bottom four, I think that's a pretty good problem. Or excuse me, let me back. A bottom four winger on your next playoff team, I think that's a pretty good problem for you.
And he has experience with Lemieux.
So exactly.
That's the reason he brought him.
So does Velarde, but he's sitting tonight. But
oh, well, all right, guys. I think they're getting ready to drop the puck there at Staples Center. So I think we ought to wrap this up so we can just give us a win, please, tonight. Just one win. That's all we ask.
Yeah, let's see how they start. It has to be better than the first 7 minutes, 28 seconds to the last game, guys, because that was brutal. I was already tuned out.
Brutal. It was horrible. But let's hope for the best. How's that sound?
Yeah, so just a quick announcement. I mean, for us listeners, we're going to be on us three here, Ryan, Russell, and Scott. We're going to be on Locked On Kings podcast this Friday with Sarah. Next week, we got Matt Luff coming on the program, and we also have Alex the Ferrier. So be on the lookout for that.
Oh, and we launched a Facebook page too, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the most important news there, of course.
Awesome. Can't forget that. All right.
Well, follow us or like us or whatever you do on Facebook.
That's right. And keep up with everything that's going on at the Hockey Royalty Podcast. All right, guys. Let's wrap this up and go watch some hockey, all right? So for Russell Morgan, for Ryan Sykes, I'm Scott Kimball. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Hockey Royalty Podcast. Go Kings, go.